Hey, good morning, everyone. I think I know everyone here, so let's open up in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you that your mercies are new every day. We thank you that we can come together corporately as a body to share in your word and just pray, Lord God. We just thank you for this Lenten period. We thank you that all the churches in Hong Kong can come together and, with one heart and one mind, just focus on you. We just thank you so much for everything that you've done in this body and in Hong Kong and everything that you will be doing. We thank you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Let's play the video first.
We're listening to Luke 10. And Jesus is sending out the 72 disciples two by two. Now, in this situation, it's men. But many of the places where I travel to, it's women that are actually going out. In Guatemala, my wife and I met 40 women who gather together every week to pray because they have a list. Now, they don't actually have a physical list because they're illiterate. But they have an oral list of women who have requested that they come. The mountains, it's kind of a mountainous area, to their hut to play the audio Bible. Because the reputation has been that if you hear the word of God in Kachikel, that your husband will stop getting drunk, he'll stop beating you, he'll stop spending all the money on alcohol, and that there'll be money for school, for food, and there'll be peace in the house. And so they have this whole list of people. The church had like quadrupled in size as these women had gone out. And so the 40 women, they only had four proclaimers or four audio Bibles. And so they pray and seek who's going to go out, who gets the proclaimer, and to what houses they're going to go to. But I just love the fact these women are like 4'8", 4'6", teeny timid women. But when they put hands on my wife and I to pray for us, it was just amazing. But I love the idea of these women going hut by hut, valley by valley, mountain by mountain, bringing the word of God, delivering them from darkness into light.
Amen. Let's turn to the passage in Luke 10. We'll be reading verses 1 to 24. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of them, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you, and you, Capernaum. Will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Let's read from Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door was guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, and saying, Get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, Dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, You are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Tell these things to James and to the brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers of what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, examined the sentries and ordered that they be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, The voice of a god and not of a man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. And I'll read the devotional from the One app. The disciples were excited by their achievements following their missionary efforts. However, Jesus quickly gave them perspective. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus wanted us to shift the foundation of our happiness from the great things that we could do, even for God, to what's already been done for us. Just as Jesus rejoices in what the Father does for him, rejoice in what Jesus does for you. Amongst all the things we can receive and achieve in this world, there's no greater prize than that already has given to us, to have our names already written in heaven. Let's read the prayer out loud together. Father, we pray for civil servants and those working for the government. Help them to work for the common good rather than their own personal agenda. We pray for the growing impact of Christians in government. Amen. Today I'll just be sharing a few short thoughts on the passage in Luke. The passage in Luke, as we read it, it's an extremely rich passage, so I'll just be focusing on 2 points in particular this morning. The first point I want to share on is simply walking in fellowship. In verse 1, it says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go." As I was reflecting on this passage, one of the main things that struck out to me was Jesus' strategy for the 72 followers. Jesus understood that as his followers prepared the way for the Lord, it would not be an easy one. He described in verse 3 as, "I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Jesus knew that they would face resistance in their task. They might get rejected by the people they are trying to share the message with, that they are trying to minister to. They might also face physical harm in their travels and obstacles from the enemy. But I believe that God is always faithful, and it proves here. He foresees the followers' needs and prepares them, for they are walking in accordance with his will. He sent the 72 followers two by two. Jesus knew in the midst of the difficulties that they would be facing that it would be better that they walk, that the walk was not carried out alone, that in times of difficulties that they'd be able to comfort each other, to minister to each other, and to encourage each other in times of difficulties. I encourage you to take a moment to reflect upon your own walk. And I'd go out on a limb and suggest to you that we have all faced struggles in our Christian walk. See if any of these examples resonate with you. Perhaps you have finally built up the courage to either share the gospel or invite family and friends to come to church or to attend Alpha. And when you finally built up that courage to go ask them, and you ask, "Hey, would you like to attend Sunday service with me this Sunday? Or would you like to attend this Alpha course that our church is running?" And you get a flat out, "No, I'm not interested." And sometimes when it's for people that you really care about, your family, you know, your close friends, it really stings and it really hurts. You may also have faced temptations in your life, that you have still struggling with sin in your life. That as we experience anxiety and pressure in our daily lives, that we sometimes cry out to the Lord and ask, "Why, God? Why? Why are we still going through this?" And sometimes we just feel like we are a lamb in the midst of wolves. In my own personal Christian walk, I've certainly experienced every element of this. But I thank God that throughout my walk, that he has never asked me to walk this alone. That when I first started in my Christian walk here at SP, I had so many doubts, I had so many questions, but he paired me up with prayer partners in GIC class, in EG class, who were able to explain things to me, who were able to encourage me. The Lord also placed brothers and sisters in my workplace who taught me how to live out my Christian life with integrity and to be salt and light. And perhaps most importantly, over the years, he placed me in a house church where I've received so much comfort and encouragement from my house church during some of my most difficult times. I'm also thankful that he has placed brothers and sisters in my life who have had the courage and who have loved me enough to sometimes speak the hard truth into my life to keep me on track to enter the narrow gate. And frankly speaking, I do not know whether I'd be here where I am today if the Lord did not put those brothers and sisters to walk alongside me all those years. I do encourage that each and every one of us later this morning to spend some time reflecting on how good the Lord has been good to you, how he has placed in our lives to walk brothers and sisters to walk alongside of us, and to thank the Lord that he encourages us to walk our Christian lives with brothers and sisters. The second point I just want to share today is being wary of our pride in our ministries. Verses 17 to 20 says, "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" You can imagine the excitement as the followers came back to Jesus after a successful missionary trip. First, 72 were sent out, and all 72 actually returned. There was no guarantee that they would all return. Secondly, even though their original mandate from Jesus was just to heal the sick and to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God, God did even more through the followers than what they originally expected. They are able to cast out demons. And Jesus confirms this as he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven as the followers were carrying out Jesus' works. I think it is good for us to take joy in the talents, gifts, and successes that the Lord has blessed us with. But this passage also reminds us that we need to be careful about pride creeping in and forgetting that ultimately these talents, gifts, and successes are by the grace of the Lord. We need to be careful about allowing pride seep into our lives and ministries. And as we serve in ministries and see the Lord's work being done through us, it's fantastic when you see people being saved, being healed, or receiving a prophetic word that speaks into their lives. But as Jesus pointed out in this passage, what you should really be rejoicing about is simply about your salvation and not the display of spiritual power through you. As we just recently had a Sunday message on the fall of Satan, I think this passage reinforces or reminds us that when we perform the works of the Lord, that we do not bask in the success of the results, but attribute the glory and honor to the Lord, not just in our words, but more importantly, in our hearts. Remember this, if even Satan could fall like lightning from his place of high spiritual state and privilege while performing holy works, it could also happen to any one of us if we allow pride to creep in, or allow ourselves to start soaking up any praise we receive when it should be for the Lord. I'd like to invite Pastor Andrew up for worship. As Pastor Andrew leads us through the worship, I just want us to reflect upon two particular points. One is to just reflect upon how the Lord has blessed you with brothers and sisters to walk alongside us in our lives, that we don't have to walk this walk alone. And secondly, to also just pray against any spiritual pride in this house and in your own walks and ministries. I believe that part of the reason that he encourages us to walk our Christian lives as a community is also to speak hard truth into each other's lives and to help us have a heart check from now and then to ensure that we are able to walk through the narrow gate.
the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so
turn to our prayer focus. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters and our loved ones who are suffering through cancer, chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's lift them up and pray for God's healing hand to be upon them. Let's pray for us, but also need to hear the word of salvation in their lives, that they're not just healed physically, but spiritually as well. Let's lift up our friends and family who are suffering from different types of infirmities. Lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for work. Let's pray that the Lord will open the right doors for them and then close the doors that they're not meant to go through. Focus. Let's lift up SP Beijing and SP Shanghai, Pastor Hsu and Pastor Ricky. Let's lift up the Chong family, which are Matt and Nate's parents, and other churches in China. We just pray, and we know that the Lord is doing incredible works in China, and we just pray for just protection and covering over all the servants of the Lord in China. For all the churches there. Let's pray for the board. Pastor Sam, Pastor Nate, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Ken, myself, Sue, Kiwan, Sandeep, and Mon. Just pray for the fear of the Lord to be upon us and for just his wisdom to guide us through all the decisions that need to be made at the board. Fellowship ministries, young adults, the Yahweh events, men's ministry, Monday morning prayer, Pure Desire, and the women's ministry, the women's discipleship course. Let's just pray for Holy Spirit to really be in the midst of each of these events, that it will be guided by the Holy Spirit and everything that happens in these ministries. Pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for the benefactor to reveal himself or herself in time, for our vision fund to continue growing, so that when we get this, when we get SP 2.0, that we'll have the resources to build it into place that can really glorify the Lord. Let's also lift up the Alpha course, which is ongoing right now. I believe it's the retreat, Alpha retreat this weekend, so just really cover them in prayers, particular lift up for guests, the Alpha Guest Salvation, for logistics, for protection over the volunteers, and of course the retreat this weekend. Finally, let's lift up our house churches that are meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Adventurous House Church. Just pray for no distractions during the house church, that our eyes and our hearts will only be focused on the Lord as we come together to fellowship and to just experience encounter you. So, Father, just thank you again for this morning. I just thank you for this SB community. I thank you that you encourage us to walk alongside other brothers and sisters in our Christian walk, Lord God. Father, we just lift up all my brothers and sisters here today. We just pray for protection and guidance through every aspect of our lives today. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.